Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Ponycast. Today we are joined by Dr. Ben Pratt from Camden Equine Centre to chat about colic. Welcome, Dr. Ben, and thanks for joining us. We're so lucky to have you here with us today. Can you please tell us a little about yourself?
No, thanks for having me. So I'm Dr. Ben. I'm an ambulatory veterinarian at the University of Sydney, Camden Equine Centre. So I guess what my job entails is I'm on the road going around to a lot of first opinion cases. Seeing everything that horses have to offer. And I'm also a horse owner myself. So I've got a couple of horses that I keep and look after. So I see a lot of things from both sides of the spectrum there.
Oh, that's amazing. Lots of fun there. So let's chat more about colic and how can we tell if our horses are suffering from colic?
Yeah, good question. So I think first and foremost, it's really important to define what colic actually is. From a veterinary perspective, colic isn't a disease. It's not a single disease that we can just look at and say, my horse has colic. What colic actually is, it's a symptom or it's a clinical sign, which means that a lot of different disease processes can cause colic rather than it being a sign of one single disease. So, I guess from that perspective, how do you know your horse is colicking? You've got to look out for certain signs such as, whether they're rolling, whether they're pouring off their feed. There's a whole range of things that we can really look out for in that respect.
Awesome. So what are some of the common causes of colic?
Some of the common causes of colic. A lot of our common causes of colic, because it colic being a sign of abdominal pain, do come from the abdomen itself. So a big part of that is our gastrointestinal system. So that's our essentially our mouth through to our guts. What we can get is we can get impactions or blockages throughout that system. So, horses have a really long gastrointestinal tract and along that way, lots of things can get stuck or not move the way that they should. Also, we can get when our guts move into different positions that they shouldn't be in, we call that displacement. That can cause colic-like signs. And in severe cases, we can even get twisting of the guts themselves. And that's probably on the more severe end of the spectrum. At the same time, we can have less common causes of colic. We can have colic coming from places such as the chest cavity or all sorts of different places where, because the horse can't communicate to us exactly where the pain's located, it can actually be coming from, places other than the abdomen as well. So it really is a bit of a challenge for us veterinarians to work out exactly what's going on in some cases.
Yeah, that's really interesting because we always think that the colic just automatically comes from the gut. So it's really interesting to hear that it's not just from the gut, that it's actually coming from other places as well. And yeah, so how is colic diagnosed in a horse? How do you diagnose it?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, we need to treat every individual episode of colic on a case-by-case basis because there's so many different things that can cause it. It means that not each case of colic is going to be diagnosed or treated in the same way. So the first thing we're going to do as a veterinarian is collect history. And that starts from the point that you give us a call. So as soon as we're on the phone, we'll ask you a couple of history questions. How long has it been going for? When did you first notice it? Has it ever happened in the past? Those questions are really important for us to sort of start to formulate a bit of an idea of what's going on. And then what we'd do is we'd start to sort of examine the animal, go out, have a look at it from afar. Is it showing colic-like signs? How often is it showing colic-like signs? How severe are these signs that the horse is showing? What we'll do at that point is we'll often go and actually do a clinical examination, look at the horse from toe to tail, checking heart rate, checking mucous membranes, checking overall as many different things on the horse as we can, because the way that those signs change is going to differ depending on what the underlying cause is. And once we've done that, then we can start to sort of make a decision about which further diagnostic tests we're going to perform to help us to work out a bit more definitively what we think is actually causing this particular episode of colic.
So what would be some of the further diagnostics that you would check into if you did assume that it was colic?
Yeah, good question. So for myself, being out on the road a lot, it means I am a little bit limited in what I can carry around in my truck. So what I'd be doing is I use a lot of my hands, my hearing, my stethoscope and my thermometer to help me work out what's going on. As well, I can pass a nasogastric tube. So that's a tube that goes through the nose down into the stomach. That's both therapeutic and diagnostic because, you know, it allows me to deliver water or fluids, but it also allows me to check whether that stomach is full and whether that stomach wants to regurgitate. So horses themselves can't vomit and their stomach can get very full and that can cause pain for them. So if I pass that tube down into the stomach and, you know, I get a whole bunch of stomach contents coming back, that itself is an abnormal finding. In the field as well, sometimes I can perform a rectal exam. So that involves me putting my hand up into the rectum of the horse and into the abdomen and having a good feel around. I can take blood tests. So there's a couple of pen side tests I can do in the field, or I can even put a needle into the abdomen and grab a little sample of abdominal fluid. So I don't do all those tests in all circumstances. I let the discussion that I have with the owner and the examination of the horse guide what I do there. But, you know, there's a whole range of things I can do in the field to diagnose colic. And then if I think that it needs a bit more investigation, often I'll recommend that they take that horse to a referral center or to a hospital-based setting. And when they get there, there's a whole range of tests they can perform, you know, blood tests on the animal, they can perform ultrasounds, they can repeat a lot of the testing that I've already done, and that just helps us to gather more information and form a much more definitive diagnosis of what we think is causing that particular episode of colic.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so if a horse is diagnosed with colic, what are some of the things that we can do to treat it?
Yeah, so once again, a lot of the time when I'm seeing a horse for the first time, my primary goal is to provide first aid and pain relief. So, you know, I'm there to try and make the horse feel comfortable and to try to start addressing the actual episode of colic. So I find that a large percentage of horses showing colic-like signs will respond to first aid and pain relief without the need for any further treatment at all, really. So after I've performed my examination, often I'll pass that nasogastric tube to give the horse some fluid. Fluids are really useful for horses, regardless of the disease condition going on. And I think a lot of horses really benefit from, you know, becoming well hydrated through a nasogastric intubation. Otherwise, I'll administer different forms of pain relief. So, you know, as a veterinarian, I've got a whole pharmacy full of different medications that will provide pain relief. And I'll make an informed decision with the client and myself as to what I think the most appropriate method of pain relief is. If I find that the horse is not responding to that initial first aid pain relief, then the horse would most likely have to go off to a hospital for, you know, more intensive treatment. And once they get there, you know, it doesn't always mean surgery. I think that's really important to point out. You know, we've all probably heard stories about horses going for surgery, having colic, or even being euthanized, unfortunately, because of colic-like episodes. There's still a lot that we can do as veterinarians that doesn't involve surgery that can help these horses that aren't necessarily responsive to initial first aid and pain relief. And if we're still struggling to get the pain under control or to get the episode of colic under control with our hospital-based medicine, then sometimes surgery is the only way to correct some of these underlying lesions that might be causing colic. So there's full range, and it really depends on what the underlying cause is. So our goal as a veterinarian is to identify that underlying cause of colic and then formulate the best plan to correct it.
Yeah, that's really good to know. So it doesn't always end up in surgery. So it's good to know you can have mild symptoms or you can have really bad symptoms. So, you know, it doesn't make us all freak out straight away. So as soon as we think, oh, colic. So. Yeah.
Really, it's a very small percentage of the horses that I see that'll even end up being referred, and an even smaller percentage, again, that will end up requiring colic surgery or euthanasia. So I think the take-home message here is a huge percentage of these horses that show colic-like signs can be managed with that initial first aid pain relief and a bit of monitoring from the veterinarian and the owner.
Amazing. Are there things that we can do to help and to prevent our horses getting colic, or is it something that just sort of happens? So,
yeah, so obviously there are a certain number of diseases that are just freak accidents, and there's nothing that we can really do to control those. However, there are a number of disease processes that You know, we do have an ability as a horse owner to help to prevent. So I think first and foremost, and probably some of the more common ones that we'll come across is dehydration. So dehydration can quickly lead to colic or diseases that will cause colic. So making sure our horses are well hydrated when we're at pony club events or when we're away at shows, making sure that our horses have ready access to good fresh water and the fact that they're actually drinking it. So there are a number of horses that can be quite stubborn, not wanting to drink the water that's offered to them. And it's just finding a way to encourage that horse to drink can be quite important, because a dehydrated horse is at high risk of colic, but also at high risk of other disease processes as well. Otherwise, there's things that we can do at home that can prevent some of the more common types of colic. Making sure that our diet is appropriate for the horse. And if you do have any questions about diet, or if you're unsure about what you're feeding, you know, giving your veterinarian or an equine nutritionist a call. We can definitely have a look at what you're feeding it and come up with a plan. Because one of the things that I really think is important is feeding the gut, making sure that we're providing adequate roughage for our horse. We all love to feed concentrates and grains and things like that, but really our diet should be focused around that roughage component, providing enough hay and pasture, at least 1.5% of the horse's body weight, to really feed that gut and make sure the gut is working effectively. And then other little things we can do, like keeping the horse away from areas of sand, making sure that we're not feeding them necessarily in a big sandy area where they might pick up sand that can go in and irritate their gastrointestinal system. So there are definitely things we can do at home to prevent colic. And once again, if you do have any questions or if you're concerned, you can always give your veterinarian a call, or next time you're getting your annual health check on your horse, just give them the question and say, how can I do things to prevent colic in my horse? And we'd love to sort of chat you through the process there.
Yeah, great tips. And how can we manage our horses if they are suffering from colic?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think it's really important not to panic. You know, as a horse owner myself, I know how quickly you can descend into that spiral of panic when one of your own horses is unwell. But that panic really doesn't do anything to fix our horse, doesn't do anything to make our horse feel more comfortable. So first and foremost is not panic. And then secondly, I think that it's really important to get the veterinarian involved early in the process. If you've got a good relationship with your vet, sometimes that's just a quick call. Let them know what's going on, and they can start to, start grabbing those history questions, getting a bit of an idea of what's going on, and they can advise you whether they think it's an emergency or whether they think it's something that can be monitored for a little bit. Definitely, I think getting the veterinarian involved early is really useful, because the earlier we treat these conditions, the less likely they are to snowball or become worse. And also for our horses, the quicker they're going to feel better. So I think, yes, there's definitely things that we can do at home, but it's best to give the veterinarian a call first before we start doing any of those things. Because in some circumstances, unfortunately, if we've gone and tried to treat a colic with home remedies or even medication that we've got left over from other horses, which we really shouldn't be doing, we can make matters worse. So give your veterinarian a call. We love to give advice and help you out. It's really what we do our job for. So the sooner you get us involved, I think the better in a lot of circumstances.
Awesome. And if I'm worried that my horse has colic while I'm waiting for the vet to come out, what are some of the things that I should be doing?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. And it does come a little bit down to safety as well. If you've ever seen a colicking horse, you can see some of them will show quite violent colic-like signs. They'll kick out, they'll thrash out, they'll want to go down and roll. And I think it's really important that we don't get ourselves injured in the process. So first and foremost, we've got to make sure that it's going to be safe to be around that horse. Secondly, what I would say is if we do think it's safe to be around the horse, then I make a decision about how I think the horse is. If the horse is sitting quietly, I often let them sit quietly. I think there's an old adage that They say to get the horse up and walk it round and walk it round. If the horse is quiet and the veterinarian's on the way, often I don't necessarily think there's a huge need to walk them round. When I think walking them can be beneficial is when that's going to help them to control their colic-like signs. So if the horse wants to go down and roll constantly or wants to paw the ground constantly, sometimes taking them for a short stroll can help to take their mind off the pain in their abdomen and just control those colic-like signs until the veterinarian is able to arrive on scene and examine the animal and put some sort of first aid and pain relief in place. So, yeah, I think walking, it can be beneficial, but if the animal is happy and comfortable or quiet and comfortable, probably more precisely, then they can be left just to sit there and wait for the veterinarian to arrive.
And should we offer them food or water, or should we hold off until the vet arrives?
I prefer to hold off food. I think if they're interested in water, you know, small sips can be appropriate. Often they won't be terribly interested in either. But if I'm concerned about colic, often I don't like them to sort of take too much on by mouth in case there is a blockage or in case we're contributing to something that might be further down the system. A horse can go a short time without that food and water, and that allows the veterinarian to sort of examine the animal in their base form.
Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank you, Dr. Ben, for your time today and for educating our members on colic. And we hope that this information has helped them recognize and manage the symptoms of the colic a bit earlier and more easier. So thank you for coming today.
Perfect. No, thank you for having me. And I really hope that none of your members do ever have to sort of deal with anything like this. But if you do, a veterinarian is the best person to help you out.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.